Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
And verse 12, when you find it, shall praise the Lord. It's going to be on your screen for your convenience. Always bring your Bible with you. The Word of God says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called," look what it says, "the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Has anybody ever read this passage of Scripture before? If you have you ever just spent some time wondering, what on earth is the prophet Isaiah alluding to here? And I really want to talk about that last part, becoming the repairer of the breach. How many can agree this morning, there are some things that need to be repaired in God's house? Amen? How many can agree this morning, there's paths that need to be restored in the people of God to dwell in? How many can believe that and agree with that? And so we're going to be talking about something that I put this message together 3 weeks ago. I was going to preach it last Sunday, but the Lord changed the message and had me preach it this Sunday. And I often wondered, why God did you turn this message and have me preach it this Sunday? And so there's an interesting reason why, and we're going to talk about that here in a few moments, in a message that we've entitled, "The Reformers." The Reformers. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, today for your word. We thank you for the reading of your word, Father. I pray that it will fall on ears that is ready to receive, on ground that has prepared itself for a healthy seed to fall on. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. We pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence in the reading of God's word. I want to talk about the reformers. In this first segment, I want to talk about who will go. I find this captivating that we have witnessed an assassination this last week. You could call it what you want to call it, but it is an assassination. And it was not just one person that was involved. We'll find out that there were others who were involved. Let me just begin by saying this is not a skin problem. This is a sin problem. The devil wants to divide. He wants to divide to conquer. He wants to make things become a race issue. And that's just the way the devil works. In the eyes of God, God is not seeing this as such a race issue. He sees it as it's a sin problem. It is a sin problem that's going on in our country, in our nation. And so we today, really, in our best ability, we need to understand that, like we said last Sunday morning, a Jezebel spirit that is alive and trying to destroy the people of God, we need to be on guard and understand that people are not our problem, right? That it's not flesh and blood that we are fighting, but we are fighting this good fight of faith, and we are warring against the demonic powers that the devil is trying to stir up in this world. And so I believe God is raising up a remnant who will repair the breach and restore the paths. They are, in my assessment, today's reformers. That's what God is doing. He's raising up a generation, young people. We're seeing it happen. And I see it catapulting even this week. He's repairing the breach. He's restoring the past. They are what we would call today's modern day reformers. I look at the prophet Isaiah, and he had one of the most incredible encounters known to man. I love this verse. I see Isaiah, and it is in a season of his life where his friend King Uzziah has died, and he is torn, his heart broken. And in that year, in that season in his life, God visits Isaiah the prophet. And there's a scripture that tells us that God is close to those of a broken heart. He is near to us when we are going through trouble, deep, hard trouble in our life. So God, Isaiah has this incredible encounter. But I believe this, before the church can repair the breach, before the church can restore the path, the church needs to have a genuine, authentic encounter with God. I'm not talking about just a program. I'm not just talking about your favorite song. I'm talking about a genuine, authentic encounter with God, Jehovah. Where He, as Isaiah, when he is seeing God high and lifted up, and God's train of His robe is filling the temple, what Isaiah sees immediately after witnessing God in all of His glory, Isaiah sees himself. I'm talking about that we need to have such an encounter with God that we begin to see ourselves, that we are weak and we need the Lord. The book of Isaiah is one of the most complex writings in the Bible. I spent a lot of time there, but it's also the most incredible and inspiring. Isaiah the prophet wrote the longest prophetic book of the Bible. If you'll look through, they're all, I suppose, 60-something chapters of his writing here. It's also considered, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is considered the prince of prophets. Isaiah lived in Jerusalem during a time of political and spiritual chaos. Not unlike today, right? Along with Isaiah the prophet, you have Hosea who's alive. You have Amos who is alive. You have Micah who is also alive. And you have Isaiah who is alive. And it's even believed that the prophet Isaiah actually came from a very influential upper class family. He had a lot of pull. But what I find most compelling about Isaiah is Isaiah's name. Have you ever stopped and wondered what the names mean in the Bible? For instance, John means chosen. And you can go throughout all the names of the Bible and wonder, what does that name mean? And I find this really interesting that Isaiah literally means salvation of the Lord. It's incredible, isn't it? Because you look at the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah is filled with metaphors, filled with similes. It's the most important part of Isaiah, in my opinion, is this metaphor, is the prediction of the suffering Messiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. This is a beautiful writing. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, he says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then Isaiah says, "Here I am," or "Here am I, send me." Is there anyone in Gospel Lighthouse Church right now that says, "God, here I am, send me"? That is the reply to Isaiah's reply to God. "Here I am, send me, I will go." Wow, this is so wonderful. Isaiah answered the call. Will you answer the call this morning? Will you be the reformer that God is calling you to be? Or are you just going to fall into the same ruts of religion like everybody else is and just sit and not do anything, not mean anything anymore to anybody else? Or are you going to say, "Enough's enough. I want to do damage to the darkness of this world. I want hell to shake when they hear my name. I want to go out into the streets, to the highways and the byways. I want to go against the flow of this modern culture. I want to go against it. I want to be different. I want to spread the light and the love of Jesus Christ. I don't have to war against people. I don't have to war against the with words. All I have to do is be the salt and the light that God has called me to be the reformer who He's called me to be." Can a church say amen? Well, what is a reformer? Listen closely to this description. The word reformer means one who improves or amends what is wrong, what is corrupt or unsatisfactory, or to cause one to abandon wrong or evil ways. That's what a reformer is. One of the greatest reformers of church history, obviously, is Martin Luther. I think everybody has heard the name Martin Luther before. On October 31st, in the year of 1517, Martin Luther, a teacher, and I have pictures that I'll have Caleb put up. Martin Luther, a teacher and a monk, published a document called the Disputation of the Power of Indulgence, also known as the 95 Theses. And that day in Wittenberg, Germany, the Protestant Reformation began. The document was a series of 95 ideas about Christianity that he invited people to debate with him. Does that sound familiar to you today? These ideas were controversial because they directly contradicted the Catholic Church's teachings. Martin Luther's statement challenged the Catholic Church's role as intermediary between people and God, specifically when it came to the indulgence system, which in part allowed people to purchase a certificate of pardon for the punishment of their sins. Martin Luther argued this. He argued against the practice of buying or earning forgiveness, believing instead that salvation is a gift of God and it's given to those who have faith. Simply arguing a doctrine that had been installed for years. Then you move forward in 1534, the Protestant Reformation began in England. Now it's moved from Germany, now it is transitioning to England with the king, King Henry VIII, because the Pope would not grant King Henry VIII a marriage annulment. So King Henry rejected the Pope's authority, instead assuming authority over the church, a sort of hybrid church, if you will, that combines some Catholic doctrine and some Protestant ideas. Now, you fast forward to December 1st, 1955. A woman by the name of Rosa Parks. She refused to give up her bus seat to a white passenger in Montgomery, Alabama. Her action sparked a Montgomery bus boycott and became a pivotal moment in the civil rights movements, leading to a Supreme Court ruling that outlawed racial segregation on public buses. Now, today, just recently, there's another picture, Caleb, you can put up. There were hundreds of thousands of young people who are raising their voices in protest of a system that is colliding with the moral values and the principles of God. They are what I call today's reformers. Notice this picture. The Portland-Vancouver metro area is one of the 34th largest U.S. metropolitan regions where religiously unaffiliated people outnumber those identifying as Christians. In other words, they're nothing like the Bible Belt. They completely believe different. Many of them are agnostic. Many of them are atheists. Many of them don't care anything about God or the Bible. But you see something that took place on August 2nd through August 3rd in 2025. This summer, the area where was rocked, this area that denounces Christ, this area was rocked by two night gatherings of over 30,000 reformers, which 3,200 came forward to make commitments to follow Christ. These are young people who are standing up in dark places against the wickedness of the devil and saying, we will be the light. We will be the salt. We want to stand up for the values and the principles of God who gives us life. And let us let that voice reign. Just this week, we had a reformer who was assassinated on a college campus. No, he wasn't there to try to cause fights. He was not there just to stir up trouble. He was there to listen and there to talk. And they took his life. But we, the church, need to open our eyes and say, we cannot sit back any longer. Let's fight, fight, fight the good fight of faith. March forward and tell the world that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can someone say amen? So my point is this. My point is, some reformations begin with people who are fed up with the system. And other reformations begin with people who want to do what is right. Who want to do what is right. The hard truth is reformations will never happen. Reformations cannot happen when we are sitting home on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings. Reformations cannot happen when we will not come together as the body of Christ and worship and show the world that we are unified and we believe in the house of God. The call from God is still as fresh as it was in Isaiah's day, thousands of years ago. That call is still as fresh as it is. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? A true reformer will reply, "Here am I. Here am I. Send me." Yes. Is anybody willing to go into the hard places? Where nobody else will go. Bring a van load of children to the house of God and pour into them. Is anybody willing to witness to your neighbor? Go across the street. Anybody willing to say, "Here I am, send me"? Go into your schools. "Oh, they're going to make fun of me." Guess what? They made fun of Jesus. Go into your businesses. Go into your place of work. And go in and say, "Look, here's the story. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." Thank God that we're seeing this take place in certain places. I'm hearing great reports at Gosnell Junior High where God is moving in the lives of these children. And we still got to keep pushing. Now's not the time to quit. We got to keep pushing forward. In the book of Isaiah 58, verse 12, our opening text said, "And they that shall be of these shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And they shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." I believe God is raising up a remnant who will repair the breach and restore the path. I believe that God is doing that. At this moment, right now, we are calling them today's reformers. When you look very closely at this scripture in Isaiah, and I want you to, you notice that Isaiah is disclosing a pattern of the Word of God. Notice that. I had to look this over and over again a couple of weeks ago and see what God is, what Isaiah is. He's building up old waste places. He's building up these old places. He's raising up foundations of many, many generations. And they're being called, they're being labeled a repairer of the breach. They're being labeled the restorer of the paths to dwell in. This is incredible to me. Isaiah, the prophet, he's foreshadowing a contest that had already been taking place. That's what's so beautiful about Isaiah. That's what's so beautiful about his writing. Because you see what Isaiah says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Look on your screen. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." This is God speaking. And he says in verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning." Everybody say, "The end from the beginning." "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." And it's telling me something then. You need to know this about God. You need to know that God is calculated in all His ways. God has purpose. I was sharing with Caleb on Friday. And I was sharing, I said, "Caleb, you know, you're kind of feeling stuck right now. And I know you're frustrated. But there's a reason. Could it be that God has you in this place right this moment to speak to you directly? Maybe that's what God is doing in our life. God is so calculated. He understands the things that we go through. Maybe the reason you didn't get that job is because God knows that job is going to take you out of church. Hello. Maybe the reason that you didn't date that individual is because maybe God says, that person is going to be bad for you. They're going to pull you away from me. God has calculated in all his doings. Because what he writes, he says, declaring the end from the beginning. Well, so my question then is this. Where in the Bible then? Here you have Isaiah writing this. Where in the Bible, before Isaiah's time, was there a reformer? Who is Isaiah? I know he's prophetically speaking to us, but he's also talking, remember, this is what the Word says, declaring the end from the beginning. Who in the beginning then was Isaiah alluding to? I think this is incredible. See, because God is so calculated, he says in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it's on your screen, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So that means God, his ways are much higher than our ways. Even our thinking can't even compare to God. So that's why we have to trust in him in times of uncertainty. Amen? So what is the story that is alluding to? What is Isaiah alluding to here? I believe the contest, the story that Isaiah is alluding to is the story of Elijah. He is contesting Baal. Another spirit. We have Jezebel. We have Leviathan, which we talked about Wednesday night. And also we have the spirit of Baal. Elijah is contesting Baal. And it's one of the greatest examples of an ancient reformer. Let's look at four truths of a reformer. Number one, reformers expose. Everybody say expose. Get ready. If you are hiding things and trying to hide things from God, God's going to expose those things. Reformers expose. Reformers expose. The prophet Elijah was not afraid to expose the culture of Baal. He was not afraid to stand up in front of this culture, in a culture that we live. You can call it a cancel culture. You can call it a woke culture. You can label all these things. But let me just be honest with you. It is a demonic power trying to interrupt God's plan and his purpose. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. It'll be on your screen. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" In other words, how long halt you between two cultures? Are you just going to follow the today's culture that says you can do whatever you want to do, go against God's word and live against all those things? Or are you going to stand for the opinion of God and his word and his precepts, his principles and his truths? This is what he says. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him then. But if it's Baal, then follow him. How you cannot ride the fence. That is the problem with the Laodicean church. It is lukewarm. It's trying to ride the fence. It's trying to have it their way and God's way. And it will never happen unless your way is God's way. Amen? Boy, this is good preaching. And I'm not hearing a lot of amens. Maybe there's a reason. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. If it be Baal, then follow him. And the people were stuck, just like a lot of people. They answered him not a word. They were stuck. Elijah is isolating the two opinions of the culture. He's isolating them. He's exposing them. He's isolating them. And Elijah has made a clear distinction between a culture of God and a culture of Baal. And that's what the church's responsibility as pastors, as leaders, as family members is to begin to isolate that and expose that and say, look, this is wrong. It is sin. This is right. This is righteousness. Get grace and mercy to help figure it out. And God will give us that. Number two, not only does the reformers expose, number two, and on your screen, reformers exalt. Everybody say exalt. The prophet Elijah knew how critical it was to rebuild and to restore the altar. My oh my, I've seen modern day churches that have came in, and I've seen it all over the place. It's kind of, and I love my son. He made a great I mean, it was something I really completely never thought of. But he said, when you begin to turn the lights off and take the altars out and turn the lights off and move the furniture of God, of God's house, and you move it out and you replace it with more of a theatrical setting, he says, you are canceling out the beauty of the sanctuary. And that's what's happening in these last days. People want to turn the lights off, and they want to not show the beauty of the sanctuary anymore. And they want to remove the furniture and the altars out. And God's like, hey, when you get to heaven, guess what? There's going to be all kinds of godly furniture in heaven. Read the book of Ezekiel as it describes what's in heaven. It's amazing what we do. But reformers exalt. He knew how critical it was to rebuild and to restore the altar. Look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 30. It's on your screen. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And look what he did. What did Isaiah say they would become? A repairer. Look, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. How do we repair the altar of God that has been broken down? Let me show you as simple as it can be. When there is a prayer meeting, you come to prayer meeting. When we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting for the children on the last Sunday, doesn't matter how old we are or how tired we are, we come and we repair the altars because we can allow them to be broken. We gather around our family and we have an altar time. We gather around and we realize that the altar's there to alter our lives for God's glory, that we can follow Him and serve Him. It's time we exalt what is God and denounce what is the world. Can I have an amen? A disease among today's modern apostate church is they have exalted a man. They have exalted a gift. They have exalted entertainment above God. But God must be exalted in His house. Number three, reformers expel. Everybody say expel. The prophet Elijah called the fire down to burn out Baal. Expel. 1 Kings 18 and verse 37 says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their heart back again. Look what happens next. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Then the fire fell. The godly element that is lacking in most churches today is the fire of God. The fire of God is not emotion. The fire of God is not a preacher standing behind a pulpit and yelling and acting a fool trying to just get people to move. The fire of God is not your favorite song that has the heavy on the drums and heavy on the B3. The fire of God is not sensationalism. It is not hyper spiritualism. The fire of God is God directly involved in the house of God despite our flesh, despite our gifts, despite our mentality, despite us. The fire of God is the fire of God. The church has lost the fire of God. Amen. Number four, last one. Reformers execute. Everybody say execute. The prophet Elijah, he does something that is... Now, we're talking about reformers here. The prophet Elijah does something a little extraordinary. It would be very extraordinary in our day and time. The prophet Elijah executed justice and judgment. Notice this. Look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, look what happens next. Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon. And what did he do? He slew them there. That's very unique. Obviously, Christ didn't come with that message, did he? But this is incredible because this tells me something that we, as reformers, modern day reformers, we've got to execute some things. We've got to tear down the strongholds. This, if God has set us free and freed us from all addictions and stuff, don't get entangled again with that yoke of bondage. You're free, stay free. Amen? And so he executes. I'll never forget this, Pastor Carl. You may appreciate this. One weekend I was preaching in Canyon City, Colorado. And on that Saturday, I was invited to a local Kingsmen breakfast. There's a Kingsmen business fellowship. It used to be, I think they still do them, but it was a big thing back in the 90s. It was a Kingsmen business fellowship breakfast. I was invited there on a Saturday, and there were several local pastors. We were all gathered to pray. We had a little bit of, you know, breakfast, but we were all really gathered there to pray. And I'll never forget this. An older gentleman, I had to have been probably 23 at the time, an older gentleman began a conversation with my stepfather, who was pastoring, and how, this is what he said. He said how preachers should operate in the spirit of Elijah, and that we should begin casting down or calling down fire from heaven on sinners. This gentleman was in his 70s. I'll never forget this. Older man, he was saying, hey, we got to call down fire. And then I'll never forget Brother Hicks's response. But this, look at Luke chapter 9. I want you to read this. Luke chapter 9 and verse 53. It says, they did not receive Jesus because Jesus' face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we, look what it says, command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But Jesus turned and what did he do? He rebuked them and he said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Boy, that will preach, Pastor Carl. That will preach, Pastor Crystal. You don't know what spirit you are. For the Son of Man, now look what's next. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. Did you hear what I said? I hope you're listening. The Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then he went to another village. What are you alluding to? I'm going to tell you something that is going on and it will continue to go on unless the church gets together and casts down this spirit. The culture, the Baal culture, is an assassination culture. I don't care. This is not a political. Charlie Kirk was not killed, assassinated because of his political views. I don't care what you say. Charlie Kirk was not a bigot. He was not assassinated because of the color of his skin. He was assassinated because he stood up for Jesus Christ. He lived for Christ. That is the assassination culture. They could care less if you're Democrat or Republican. They could care less of what government policies you hold. All they want is your life if you stand up for Jesus. We got to stand up for Jesus. We must stand up for Christ. We must stand up for Christ. We can't allow the devil to win, and we cannot allow to operate in fear anymore. No, they may shoot bullets and they may take my life, but they will never, ever take Jesus from me. Somebody, can you stand up and say, here I am. Send me, God. Send me. I want to be today's reformer for His glory. Someone shout hallelujah. My, oh my, you may be seated. A true reformer's biggest task will be able to discern the difference between flesh, God, and what is not of God. Just like I said last Sunday, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. I love what Charles Spurgeon wrote, and it's on your screen. He said, discernment's not a matter of telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it is telling the difference between right and an almost right. It's time to execute justice and judgment, good judgment. It's time to start walking and listen. We've played patty cake bakers, man, far too long. We patted you. We've patronized you. We felt sorry for you. I can't even bury my own mother. So don't give me no more excuses. I'm suffering with dizziness 24/7. Don't give me no more of your stupid excuses. We got to execute justice and judgment. You're either on the team or you're not. That's all there is to it. And I know I used a bad word there, but listen, Jesus said, you fools, you hypocrites, you whited walls. Amen. I'm not Jesus, but you can tell how I feel right now. We've got to execute justice and judgment. When a reformer finishes the task, everybody says, finish the task. When a reformer finishes the task that God has ordained him to follow, look what happens next. He's been exactly what God's called him to do. He's exposing, he's exalting, he's doing all these great things, he's expelling, he's executing. But after he has finished these tasks that God has called them to do, what happens next? Anybody? The rain comes. How many can say, I want the rain to come? I saw a good friend of ours, Diana Davis, post today that there's such a drought in northeastern Arkansas. The farmers, they're going to lose so much money. And guess what? Our government is not even going to help them, it looks like. We're in a drought. We're in a terrible condition. I want it to rain. I want the abundance of God's rain to fall. The church, Gospel Lighthouse Church, we've been in a drought. I want God's rain to fall. There's marriages that have been in droughts. There's leaders, you're in a drought. You don't even pay attention to what God has been speaking, and God is getting a hold of you. The worst thing to do is that lose that calling and that purpose. Remember, that calling is without repentance. That's a terrible place to be. I don't want to miss God. I want the abundance of rain to fall. And listen, that's what happens after Elijah, after he confronted that Baal, that culture, that spirit, after he had done all these things and even executed justice and judgment, the rain fell. Look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 41. Elijah said in Ahab, get thee up. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get thee up. Eat and drink. Look what happens next. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. God, send the rain. Before the church, you know, and I think this is true. The church, we can pray for rain until we're blue in the face, right? But if the church continues to ignore the Reformation anointing of God, the Reformation anointing that God is calling the church to carry, the church will never know the abundance of rain. Sure, it looks like rain in other buildings and other churches, but are you sure that's what you want? Do you want a little sprinkle from somebody else's entertainment and somebody else's stuff? Or do you want a downpour of Holy Ghost rain like you have never experienced before? So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? Let's look at this opening text, Isaiah 58 and 12. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and they shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this morning's message is to do exactly what Isaiah is saying. Repair the breach. Restore the paths to dwell in. Those two things. What that means to me may mean totally something totally different to you. Repairing the breach to me may mean completely different. I may have identified a breach in my family that needs reconciliation. And you may have identified a breach in your finances that need to be dealt with. Right? It may mean different things to all of us. But once we have identified the breach and sealed it up, then we can begin the restoration process on the paths to dwell in. So important. And the only way that we could successfully deal with this, the only way that we're able to successfully deal with your finances, if it's relationships, if it's jobs, if it's something inner, maybe it's a innermost turmoil going on in your life, whatever it may be, could be habits and addictions, whatever it is, the only way we can successfully do that, deal with it, is with this right here, is the Word of God. And I don't say this lightly. I truly believe in the power of God's Word. It is the most powerful agent known to man. Nuclear fission has nothing compared to the power of God's Word. Nothing is more powerful. It withstands fires in California. It withstands the test of time. And it lives forever and ever. If they can take John chapter 11, one page out of the Word of God, and live in a communist country, communist Russia, and when the wall fell down and preachers went in the late 80s, they found a group of people with one page of the Bible, underground churches having service every day, underground. What underground means, secretly having church with one page of God's Word. John chapter 11. Listen, if you don't know what John chapter 11 is, you need to go home and you need to read all about it. God's Word is so powerful. It's so amazing. Psalms 119 and 130 says, "The entrance of thy words gives light." It gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Psalms 119 and 105. It says, "Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We're talking about dwelling in the paths, right? And possibly my favorite passage of Scripture that I quote almost every day, Joshua 1 and 8. "This book of the law shall not depart of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's stand together in this sanctuary. What if we all determined to become a reformer for the glory of God? Young people, think about this. Think about it. Who else is going to have to tragically die to get our attention? Parents, think about your children. Think about our church. I've said this for years. We said, man, there's Christians dying in China. They're being martyred in China. They're being martyred in Iran. They're being martyred in all of these other places. We thought, oh, it never happened here. Well, that was a lie. We're no better than anybody else. Yeah, we're a godly nation, but we've turned our back on God. And it's just a matter of time. The hedge that we have talked about with Job, the hedge that we've talked about that is over this nation, could be lifted. Just the other day, a vigil in a large city for Charlie Kirk was happening. During that vigil, there were so many protesters disrupting a solemn vigil. People there to mourn, protesting, saying horrible things, celebrating a death. We've got to come together. If the church cannot come together, If we cannot come together, how do you think we'll survive when things really, really turn for worse? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, not your neighbor, I'm going to ask you right now, everyone under the sound of this voice, Pastor JC, God is asking, who will I send? Who will go for me? Can you say, not 99% of your, not 50%, I'm talking about 100%. Can you say, here I am, God, send me. If that's you, I see hands raised up, hold them up high. If that's you, 100% of me says yes. I'm not letting anything else keep me. 100%. If you raise your hand, I want you to come to these altars right now, because I believe the Lord has something special for you. 100%. Here I am. Send me. Mean business for God. Come and pray. This is me. I see it. Come and pray. Send me. Send me. I want to stand for God. I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.